Proverbs chapter 1, beginning from verse 20, the Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Father, we pray for this portion of Scripture. We ask and pray, Lord, that you'd continue to give us light on verse by verse, and that you'd give understanding to us tonight. We ask and pray, Father, for every single one of us, that we be not only hearers, but Lord, doers of thy word. We, Father, want to mention the prayer request mentioned tonight, these petitions, Father, people that are traveling, those that are going to and fro different places, Lord, that you'd be guiding them by your grace and keeping them, Father, as an apple of your eye, that you'd keep them safe. And also, Lord, I pray that their endeavors will be profitable unto your glory. I pray for Brother Mitch as he endeavors to go back to Queensland and seek out a job opportunity, Father, that you'd direct him within this month, and that you'd make it so clear to him, and that you'd aid him and grant him wisdom, Father. I pray, Lord, for Dylan, this man that's been reached. I just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to soften up his heart. Continue, Lord, to speak to his heart and convict him of the truth and his need of a Saviour. Father, we pray that you will have your hand upon him, and that, Father, the words of the gospel will continue to penetrate, and he in return will respond and trust you. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for your work in this church. We thank you, Father, that you are the head of the church, and that you add to your church, and you're working in every single life tonight. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and we thank you, Father, for the Church of God. Appreciate you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're peering through the Proverbs, and we'll complete chapter 1 tonight, God willing, in part 4 message. The Proverbs of 1, verse 1, was an introduction, Proverbs of Solomon, handed down by God to him. And we, as we know it, it is the wisdom of God given to Solomon. And also, we looked at Proverbs 1, 2 to 6, the benefit or the purpose of the Proverbs or the wisdom of God. And then we looked at Proverbs 1, 7 through to 19, and part 3, the specific wisdom given to Solomon's son, but also refers to us. And then tonight we're going to look at Proverbs 20, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through to 33, in a part 4 message. We'll see that the cry or the plea of wisdom. In the previous verses, we have been admonished that we'd keep away from the enticing invitations that the world or evil people have for us, and that would keep away, and we were admonished the danger of yielding to the ways of the wicked. We're admonished to stay away, and a wise person is one that studies their decisions or the consequences of their decisions and what will take place. But in these next few verses, would see the danger of rejecting the cry of wisdom or the voice of wisdom or the instruction of God. We can say that here tonight. The cry of wisdom is the instruction or reproof of God, and we find that in his word. Now, in first place, verses 20 to 21, we see the plea of wisdom. We see wisdom crieth without. It's not wisdom is talking to us here tonight. Wisdom cries out tonight. It doesn't just speak out, but it cries out. She yearns for men to be saved. She yearns for all to make godly decisions, decisions that are derived from biblical principles. Wisdom has a burden for the lost, no doubt, has a burden for believers. She crieth deeply for these people from the depth of the heart. She's concerned about the decisions that people make. And we see not only the plea of wisdom, the crying out, if you would, but the places in which wisdom cries out. There she uttereth her voice in the streets. God's words desires to reach every person, every single person on the street. Jesus encouraged his disciples to go out where? To the highways and hedges, to the street, to call people to repent, to trust Jesus Christ, who is the source of wisdom. And Jesus' ministry somewhat was partly on the streets. His disciples followed that way. And if God's word is crying out on the streets, means perhaps that there are some that have just simply cast out God out of the house. If wisdom of God is shut out from some people, then it's going to go out to the street where a lot of people go and dwell. Activity takes place. Many a times people get out of the house. Perhaps the house is there just for a dwelling place to come, eat, gather together, sleep. But majority of the time, people go out on the streets, and wisdom's crying out on the streets. It's crying out for the lives of those, perhaps, that have shut out God's word from their home. Perhaps shut up God's word from their churches or even from their lives. And many people comfortably welcome the filth and the lust and the foolishness that comes through the TV or Hollywood movies, but gradually reject the wisdom of God. But notice in verse 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying. So we see wisdom cries out for those that are perhaps some sort of leadership, kings, governments, parents, pastors, those perhaps that have a position of influence. And then we see not only the places where wisdom cries out, but we see the people wisdom cries out for. Notice in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Three class of people here, wisdom addresses, and confronting them with three different questions. We have the simple, the scornful, we have the foolish. And then the simple one is the one that is naive, the one perhaps that is seducible, easily misled, one that forgets the oracles of God, forgets the Bible-based principles. And there's a question that asks these simple ones, these naive ones, how long, ye simple ones, will you love your simplicity? How long will you be naive and misled? When are you going to snap out of it? How long is it going to take you to wake up, perhaps? When are you going to wake up and realize that you have been misled, misguided, and taken for a ride by this deceitful worldly philosophy? When are you going to start responding to the word of God? When will you start hearkening to the voice of wisdom, and you'll continue to love the simplicity of this world? How long will you be in that state for? And then we see the scornful one, one that makes a mouth out, one that scoffs, if you would, one that chiefly just scorning the righteousness of God. That's their main, perhaps, subject. They like to scorn at the righteousness of God. And not only the righteousness of God, but all those that stand for the righteousness of God. And the Bible mentions in 2 Timothy 3:3, in the perilous times, there should be those that are despisers of those that are good. And so that's the scornful one. So the question is for the scornful, how long will you continue to delight in your scorning? When are you going to get out of the seat of the scornful? When are you going to get out of that seat? And instead of being a mocker, you can be a merrier. Is that a word? Merrier? You can make merry. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man that pondereth upon the wisdom of God day and night. How long is it going to take you to stop delighting in your seat of the scornful? That's the question. And then the foolish one, the arrogant, foolish person that rejects and rebels against the knowledge of God. It says the question, how long will you fools hate knowledge? These ones that know knowledge. They know the counsel of God. They know what to do. And there's a question, how long are you going to hate knowledge? You know what you need to do and you don't do it. How long are you going to stay in that state? How long will you put up with the foolishness and reject the wisdom of God's ways? And then wisdom wants you to know. It's asking the question. It wants to know, will there be a turning point or will you continue in your folly? How long will you continue in this way of thinking, in your own wisdom? When are you going to follow the word of God? When are you going to turn to the counsel and wisdom of God? When are you going to stop loving simplicity and delighting in scornfulness and continue in your folly? Wisdom is crying out, asking the question, demanding a response. It's typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And so wisdom, we understand it, asking a question here tonight. Wisdom cries out to all men to turn from their folly. This is called repentance. It's to have a change of mind from seeking our wisdom versus God's wisdom. Walking in our own wisdom versus walking in God's wisdom. Notice verse 23, the promise wisdom cries forth. Notice, turn ye at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. When people respond and turn to God's reproof, God will grant them more wisdom, more light, more enlightenment. Amen? God will make known his words. And if you obey the very light of God, which God has given you, and that very light begins with, I know that there's a God and I need to fear God. He's God. I need to bring him back to the right place of my life. He's God. I'm not God. That very light, when I obey the very light which God gives me, God is able to give me more light. So he says, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. The Bible says in Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Cornelius was a man that lived up to the light that he'd had. He's a man that feared God, and he was devout in his worship toward the Lord. And God led a preacher to give him more light. And praise God, that was the light of the gospel that was able to save his soul. He says, I will make known my words unto you. This is the promise of God. I will give you more wisdom. I will give you more light. I will give you more understanding. And turn ye at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit. I will give you enlightenment. I will make known my words unto you. The secret things of God belong to them that fear him. When will you turn at my reproof? This is the promises that we can have. That if we turn to God and his word, God will continue to guide us in his word and continue to guide us in truth. Rahab responded to the little light that she had. She had been a pagan prostitute. But the little light that she had, that she knew that the God of Abraham was the God of heaven and the God of earth. And she believed in that, and God sent her two messengers to get her out from the destruction that was going to come. She ended up being King David's great-grandmother. And you'll see it somewhere in Hebrews chapter 11. The hall of faith, she's mentioned, because she responded in the little light that she had. The God of Israel is my God, and I want him to be my God. The little light that she had. When will you turn to my reproof? Before these promises can be fulfilled in your lives and in my lives, we must turn to wisdom's reproof. We must turn to God's word. Question, what happens if we don't hearken to God's counsel? What happens if we don't hearken to the very word of God? Well, we're going to miss out on God's direction. We're going to miss out on God's will being fulfilled in our lives and God directing us step by step. But that's not all. Notice verse 24. Notice the product from rejecting wisdom's voice. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hands and no man regarded. Hey, I was calling you. I was stretching out my hands and saying, come. But you didn't regard it. You didn't regard wisdom. You didn't even pay attention to it. And he goes on to say in verse 25, but ye have set a naught all my counsels and would none of my reproof. You brought it down to nothing. You dismissed all my counsel. And you would none of my reproof, none of it, not a little bit of it. And that's someone that hears the word and doesn't want to do the word. Please leave your fingers there. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning from verse 22. James chapter 1, beginning from verse 22, the Bible mentions, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a for what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." The contrast. One that hears the word of God and does the word of God, doesn't easily forget the word of God, but rather embraces the very word of God, doesn't just hear it, but lives it out, propagates it in their own lives. But what happens to those that refuse it? Those that wisdom stretch out her hand and calls out, and they say, "Well, no, I don't want that." What happens to these people? Notice verse 26. I will laugh at your calamity. Wow. Wisdom will laugh at the calamity of the simple, the scornful, and the foolish. Calamity is ruin, it's destruction, oppression, disaster. The Bible says calamity is a result of rejecting God's counsel, and they will be the laughing stock for rejecting God's word. I will laugh at your calamity. In Psalm 2, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Those that reject the counsel of God, the very word of God. Notice the last part of Proverbs 1:26. I will mock when your fear cometh. Wisdom will mock when their fear comes. It's almost like a nodding of the head. Rejecting the word of God. Rejecting reproof of God's word. Destruction will end up coming, and wisdom will laugh at them. Why? Because they didn't turn at the reproof. Notice verse 27, that when your fear cometh as desolation, that is like a rush over, a tempest, like a raging storm that leaves you in despair. When your fear cometh as a desolation there, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. A whirlwind is a rapid, like hurricane, if you would. Fierce and boisterous, that destroys not only the roof of a house, but those that are living in it. It comes rushing. It comes and leaves you desolate. Those that reject the wisdom of God will find themselves to be desolate. And it comes rapidly. If a person ever lives outside of God's word, destruction will come in their way. God mentions that. And will find them to be left in distress and anguish and despair. Remember the destruction that came on the walls of Jerusalem? They were left in despair. They were left in anguish and despair. They were utterly cast down and overtaken by the enemy. And then we see in Proverbs 1:28, "Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. What they counted once to be worthless would soon be regarded as great value, but it's too late." It's too late. What's done is done. Remember the rich man? It's too late. What he once counted to be value, he in his lifetime said, no, I want the good things outside of God's word. And when it came down to the crunch and he found it himself to be in hell, he regretted the decision that he made to live outside of God's word. And he valued it. He even wanted to be the carrier of God's wisdom to his brethren. You remember that? He went to wanting to encourage them to believe on the... they said, "Look, if I go, they'll believe one man risen from the dead." And we have Abraham there that says, "No, if they're not going to receive the prophets, they won't receive your word." They rejected it. They will reject it. That's it. What's done is done. They've made their decision. And it's too late. The damage has been done. Wisdom gives warning that opportunity. Please understand. Wisdom gives warning that opportunity in making godly decisions will come to an end one day. That's why Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Because there's going to become a time where you're going to do the calling, but you're not going to hear anything in return. It'll be too late. I beg you here tonight. I beg you tonight. Don't let it be too late for you. If you hear God's voice, God's word, God's wisdom, Christian, non-Christian alike, respond. Don't harden your heart. Because that heart will only get harder. Every time you say no to God's word, it'll only get harder the next following day. God's speaking to you about something. Throughout the past weeks or whatever it is, God will bring something to the surface of your heart. Please, I beg you tonight, don't let it be too late. Some people here tonight are on the verge of making one decision that will change their direction for a very long time. And no matter what it is, could be marriage, could be anything. Even as Christians, let me just say, sometimes we can make decisions. And our decisions, and we haven't studied the consequences of it. It would be too late to go back and undo what's been done. And we can still be forgiven. Thank God for that. But there are some things that we can call out that God says, look, now I'm telling you, now I'm giving you warning. I want you to respond now. Save the heartache. Save the heartache. Rejecting God's word will only bring you heartache, anguish, and despair. What happened? Why sudden destruction? Why? Notice verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Look at God's elect no man. God elects no man to hell. No, they choose. They choose. God elects no man to hell. People perish in hell because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And the reason why people are led to destruction or they simply perish in hell is because they refused to fear the Lord. And they wanted to follow their own ways. It's not God's fault. God is calling in the streets. Is anyone there? God is calling in the homes. God is calling in the churches. Hello? Is anyone there? I stand at the door and knock. And if the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and I open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus cries out to all men, but all men won't listen. It's sad today. We live in a day and age where people want to use the word of God as a menu. They want the John 3:16 verses, but all the other verses they want to disregard regarding personal holiness. Isn't that sad? They want to pick and choose what suits them and what helps them get by and encourages them. But when God hits a note of some sort in their life, it's, oh, no, I'm going to refuse that reproof. But only destruction will await that person. Proverbs 1 verse 30, notice, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. And despise to be means to abhor, to hold in contempt, to count it worthless. Remember that time Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine? Or it's like casting pearls before swine. They look at this wonderful wisdom of God that is able to lead them and guide them and they tread on it. They despise the word of God. They tread on it like rubbish. They count it as nothing. They despise the word of God. Notice verse 31. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The consequences of some decisions are irreversible. The damage has been done. And they'll reap the destruction of rejecting of God's word. Notice Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning from verse 7. Turn your Bibles there, Galatians 6 and verse 7. I'm going to slow it down here for a little. We can ponder upon this. Galatians 6. Notice verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God won't be mocked. The people can sit in the seat of the scornful and they can scorn all they want. But God's going to have the last laugh. Wisdom will have its last laugh. Not in a cruel way. Not in a told you so way. But it would just be a rebuke. Just a big rebuke. Fear will come on them like no end. Before they stand before the Holy One of God, they will say to the mountains, fall on us! Because they rejected the Word of God. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Please understand that. What the decisions you make, you will reap the consequences of those decisions. And the best decisions, hear me tonight, the best decisions, don't be ignorant or arrogant tonight, don't be foolish. The best decisions you can ever make will be based on the Word of God. Any amens here tonight? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every decision based on the Word of God will be a prosperous decision, will be a decision that will bring life everlasting. But every decision outside of God's will be wasted in vain. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall what? Slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The simple turn their ears away from the truth. So they will continue to be misled and believe lies. The turning away of the simple, those that are just naive, easily misled. Easily misled. Let me encourage you tonight. If you base your decisions and your decisions and your convictions on the Word of God, you cannot easily be misled. I find the reason why I get into the Scriptures, we put it on the verses there, we turn the pages, and we go through thorough Bible studies so you will learn to put your faith in the very Word of God. So next time, anything that someone else says, and by the way, out there, you are going to get different voices. And you'll get someone, and you believe the Word of God for a moment because you took it as a word of man, but someone will easily come and sway you again because you're simple. But someone that just hears reproof from God's Word and doesn't take it as the word of man, that's what Paul the Apostle said. We didn't come with our own wisdom. We came by the demonstration of the Spirit, the Word of God. And you believe the Word of God, you'll go far. But the turning away of the simple will slay them. Those that are naive, those that will continue to believe lies, the lies of the devil. And then the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. This is an attitude that, you know, I'm never going to die. It's the eat, drink, and be merry attitude. It's my soul, you have many goods stored up for you for what? Many years. Eat, drink, be merry, be happy. What did God say to that man? You fool. The prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. They forget who God is. Remember the Proverb chapter 30? He says, Lord, don't give me riches, because if you give me riches, I'll deny thee. Don't make me to be in poverty, because if I am in poverty, I would just simply blaspheme your name. I will go out. Just give me enough. Just give me enough. Look, let me ask a question here tonight. Is God enough for you? Is God enough? If that's all you had, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that enough? Is that enough? All that God had given you was Himself, Jesus Christ, His wisdom, a relationship with Jesus. Would that be enough for you? Because the prosperity of fools will destroy them. eat, drink, merry attitude, strong and wealthy, who needs God? No, we all need God. We all need His Word. We all need to come to the point of our lives that we can pray, give us this day our daily bread, and no man lives on bread alone, but by every word of God. It's physical, but more spiritual. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Notice what happens if we respond to wisdom. Notice the product from receiving wisdom's voice in verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Man, this is so important that we would simply teach our children from a young age. Amen. Why? Because it brings safety. Why? So evil does not visit us. And if we teach our children from a young age, we teach them the scriptures. The scriptures are able to make them wise unto salvation. But let me encourage every parent here tonight. Don't just teach your children John 3:16. But I beg you with all my heart, you teach your children 1 Peter 1:15. You say, what's that? What's 1 Peter 1:15? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in every aspect of your lifestyle. And you saw what we looked at last time regarding the wisdom for Solomon's son to be separating from worldly practices and from worldly people that influence you other than godly convictions. And so I beg you with all my heart, salvation is wonderful that we teach our kids to follow after. But sanctification and growing in the Word of God is beautiful. And we need the Word of God to help us. We need the Word of God to guide us. We need the Word of God to help us be an example for our children. Wisdom crieth without. Hello! Can anyone hear me? She cries in the streets. I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hear my voice? Don't let it be too late for you, please. God is pleading. God is not talking to us tonight. Wisdom is not just talking. He's crying. He's pleading. I stretched out my hands. I just want godly. God is saying, I just want you to make godly decisions that will bring about safety, that will bring about peace. You won't be visited with evil. God's word, God himself pleads with you tonight, cries out, please, I beg you, don't make foolish decisions outside of God's word. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Don't rely on your own foolishness. Would anyone turn at my reproof? Hello? Anyone respond to the knock? Anyone hear my voice? He says, I'll come and sup. I pray with all my heart that you will respond to the voice or to the cry or plea of wisdom. The wisdom, not Solomon's wisdom. Remember, the wisdom of God's word handed down to Solomon to give to us. Would you respond to God's word? Would you respond? Let's pray.